Okay, guys, let's go to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll pick up where we left off last week in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 5. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Last week we began this particular text, and we talked about the characteristics of salt. We'll talk about light in just a few moments, but we talked about the characteristics of salt and how they can be a picture of the impact that Christians are able to make or should make on the world around them. We talked about the fact that salt is pristine white. Salt adds flavor. Salt has healing properties. Salt creates thirst, and salt preserves. Not going to rehash or go over those, but each of those can be a picture of how we as Christians should be in this world. The second part of verse 13 we did not get to, where it says, "If salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." In ancient times, or in Bible times, in the area of Palestine, much of the salt that was harvested was contaminated, especially that was around the Dead Sea. Minerals such as gypsum and other minerals could get into the salt and contaminate it, or taint it, if you will, causing it to be of no use, causing it to lose its value. So if a batch of that tainted salt were to get into the home of someone, and they realized, they recognized or discovered that it was tainted, they would have to get rid of it. And of course, it would have to be thrown out. You just don't throw salt anywhere, because salt kills soil, kills vegetation. Obviously, they wouldn't want it to be discarded anywhere near their gardens or their fields. It would kill the plants. And so they would carefully throw it in the roadways or in the walkways. It would be two things would happen. First, it would be ground into the dirt, and that would also help keep the vegetation clear of the walkways and the roadways, okay? So how does that affect us? What is Jesus trying to say to us as believers with this metaphor or this analogy? He's certainly not saying that we can lose our salvation if we've lost our savor, our saltiness, if you will, that we'll be thrown away, we'll lose our salvation, that somehow we'll be thrown away eternally. That's not at all what's being said. We know that. We can substantiate that in just a moment. But just as a homemaker, if they were to be come to the realization that the salt that they had was no good, it was not useful, and they would have to discard it. Well, there's such a thing, if you and I to become sinful and worldly, tainted by the world, if you will, contaminated enough, that we are rendered ineffective. That we become where we're not useful, we're not serving our purpose, we're not doing for God's kingdom what we should be doing. And when Jesus doesn't discard us in an eternal sense that we lose our salvation, but we can be set aside and that we're just not effective for Him. We're just rendered useless. And so He just doesn't use us. And now, useless, when I say useless, that doesn't mean worthless. We're always worth something to God, because we're a soul, and He's purchased our soul with His Son Jesus, okay? It's not that there's not a love and a concern or a care about us, but it's just the fact that we're just not availing ourselves to Him anymore, as in to His kingdom. We're not valuable in the sense of we're not contributing, we're not effective, we're not being helpful to the kingdom, okay? And so that's how the metaphor can be applied to our lives. The other part of this metaphor is that of light. He says, you're salt, and he says, you're light. Verse 14, he says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Light, in order to be of any use to anyone, has to be brought out to the open. It cannot be covered up. If you get a big old bright light and you cover it up with a big old dark shade, then there's life there, but it's not being effective. It's not reaching anyone. It's not illuminating, showing the way, if you will. And so it's not being useful. Just as a Christian can keep his or her beliefs to themselves and hide their faith, so to speak. And in doing so, they have the light of Jesus Christ within them, but they're not shining it. You see, they're not being effective for Christ. God didn't give the gospel in secret. He gave it openly. And he intends for you and I, when we have the gospel, when we become his children, to be open with the gospel. And we don't have to be in the world's face. We don't have to cram it down their throat, but we do have to have a faith that's visible and a faith that is audible. And if you think about it, he refers to a city on a hill. A city on a hill, even in the daytime, the buildings, the homes, or whatever, they are visible from long distances just because it's elevated upon a hill and it stands high above. And so you can see that city from a good ways off. But you can see it so much further at night when the porch lights are on, the lamps are in the windows, the street lights are on. Then you can see that city because it's elevated above everything else. You can see it miles and miles and miles away, as opposed to a city that sits in a valley. You see, Vegas sits in a big old valley. And so you don't see Vegas, big old bright city. Believe me, probably more lights in Vegas than any city in the nation. But you don't see it till you top the hill and look across the valley. You don't see it from miles like most other cities do. Most other cities. So a city set in a valley is hid behind the surrounding landscape. And unless you're right upon it, you're not going to see it. Jesus says we need to be like a city on a hill. We need to be seen. Our Christianity needs to be seen even at a distance. God wants us to reveal ourselves as children of God, to make known that we're children of God. That doesn't mean we're waving a flag or a banner. It's just saying that we're not hiding our faith. We believe in Jesus Christ. And can we be an ineffective Christian and still be saved? Yes. Yes, you can be saved and be an ineffective Christian. Just as you can have light, can be very bright and be covered up, okay? But it's not what God wants for us. He wants us to share our faith. He wants us to, we need to live right, yes. But we need to also be open and with our faith so we can be useful in making other people see the light of Jesus Christ. And God sums that principle up in verse 16. He says, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I told you a few minutes ago, I would substantiate the fact that we know he's talking to Christians. He says, let your light. It means you have the light, okay? The ones he's talking to, they have the light. They're born again. They possess the light as a result of their salvation. But what are they to do with it? He says, let it shine. Well, is it good enough to just go out each day and just live right and do right and that's it? Not really. I mean, that's good, and we want everybody to do that. But if we do that, how are men to know that we're children of God? Now, obviously, they pick up, hey, that guy, there's something different about him, or that gal, there's something special about her. But they need to know we're Christians. They need to be aware that we're Christians, because when that happens, then who gets the glory? God gets the glory. And that's what that whole verse is talking about. Let your light so shine before men that when they see you their good works, they don't assign them to you and say, oh man, isn't he a great guy? Or, oh, isn't she she's a fantastic person. I really like being around her. Well, if they know you're a Christian, they might still think that, and that's a good thing. But they're also going to give glory to God. And that's what's most important. I lost my place. the light that we possess did not originate with us. It originated with Christ. We received it through salvation. So it shines and it brightens our lives. And if we will allow it, it will brighten the lives of others around us. But we need to make sure that God's getting the credit that's due for that, because it originated with Him. I'm telling you, I was not much of a light when I was lost. Not a light at all. In fact, quite characterized by darkness, okay? But Christ saved my soul to a great extent. I've made some improvement, and maybe I'm a light to an extent, okay? Well, God's got to get that glory. I can't say, man, I turned over a new leaf, and I quit drinking, I quit smoking, and so did my wife, and we're doing right, and look how good our life. No, I can't say that. I can say Jesus Christ turned our life upside down. We have the light now, and that light illuminates. If it illuminates your life, then give. If you see something special, then give God the glory. But here's what, and I'll leave you with this. If we are popular people, and we shouldn't seek popularity, okay? But if we're the kind of people that people like, we have a considerable realm of influence, we're considered good people, and we have a lot of friends, and if we are like that, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. But here's something to think about. If all of that being the case, and we never bring anybody to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, or perhaps get them to church, or in some way introduce people to Jesus, it has to make us think, are we really displaying our faith? We're shining and we're being good people, but is that connection of being good and faith in Jesus Christ being revealed to the people, okay? We've got to do, I mean, people might, they just think, well, he's just a real good guy. He was sure raised right. No, we want them to think he's a real good guy because he has Jesus in his heart. And that's what that verse is all about. Let me read it one more time. Let your light so shine before men. We need that effect, that men are affected by the light, so that when they see those good works, they know where they come from, and they'll give glory to God. Give glory to your Father which is in heaven, as the verse says. Okay, appreciate you guys so much. Pray. Let's pray that we can get this this COVID-19 deal nipped in the bud, that perhaps these two young fellas at school didn't expose too many other people. This Renee Pacina, perhaps he and his family keep it contained there, and then we'll hear no more about it, okay? So let's stand. Appreciate you guys very much. Pray for rain, guys. It's an ongoing thing. We need it all the time. And so just pray that the Lord brings some rain to our area, okay? All right, good.